Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Joe.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we're on our travel unit, and we're going to be heading to the majestic American Northwest.
Yay!
To one of the oldest, or in fact the oldest, and one of the greatest national parks in North America, or anywhere in the world for that matter. It's called Yellowstone National Park, and it has quite a storied history, and it's also incredibly beautiful there. And luckily, we have Stephanie here with us today, and she has been there not once, but twice, right?
Yeah, I have. You know, my favorite memories are from a family vacation when we went to Yellowstone. Great photos from that time. I think I was only about 12. It was a while ago. But oh, we had such a good time. It's beautiful because you're really out there in the wilderness. They haven't allowed any building to be done. The one place that's really famous in Yellowstone is where Old Faithful is. We'll tell you about Old Faithful. But it's kind of like a hot spring that shoots up into the air, and it's so cool. And you just have to wait a couple of minutes because it sprays its water into the air every few minutes, and it's very regular. You can look at your clock to know when it's going to come up next. But it's fun. There's a big lodge where Old Faithful is, so you can't stay there overnight. It's kind of like a hotel. Have you been there too, Joe?
I actually have not had the chance to go there. I've seen Old Faithful on TV, and
Sure. That's
why they call it Old Faithful, right? Like you were mentioning, you can literally set your watch to it because it goes off at regular intervals throughout the day. And you know that if it's a certain time of day, then Old Faithful will be erupting at that time. Well, that's just one of the aspects of Yellowstone National Park we're going to be talking about over the next couple of days. We'll talk about the history of it and some of the wonderful scenes of wildlife and nature that you can see there too. So why don't we sit back and relax as we read through day one of Yellowstone, America's National Treasure, and then Stephanie and I will be back to discuss it.
When we look at our planet today with its ever-expanding cities and shrinking natural environments, it's a relief to know that there are still some places where man can't interfere with Mother Nature. National parks are areas of land officially protected by the government, either due to their outstanding natural beauty or because of their particular historical or scientific interest. There are now national parks in nearly 100 countries across the world, but the very first, and some would say the greatest of these, is America's Yellowstone National Park. Located in the northwestern U.S., Yellowstone covers a vast territory of almost 10,000 square kilometers, spanning three states and encompassing thick forests, misty mountain ranges, crystal clear lakes, and boiling springs. While some of America's indigenous tribes had already hunted and fished in the region for around 11,000 years, it wasn't until 1807 that the first white man bore witness to Yellowstone's natural wonders. Lone explorer John Coulter returned from his travels with tales of a strange place of boiling mud and steaming rivers, but few at the time believed his accounts. 6 decades passed before a proper expedition finally set foot in the area in 1869. Naturalist F.V. Hayden was perhaps the strongest advocate of preserving the region's precious environmental value. It was largely thanks to his detailed geological survey of 1871 that the American government made the decision to create Yellowstone National Park in 1872. Since then, Yellowstone's popularity has continued to grow, and it is considered a benchmark for all other such projects. This significance was recognized in 1978 when the park was designated a UN World Heritage Site.
All right, so let's begin our discussion of Yellowstone National Park, and we'll begin with a description of what we see in our world today. When we look at our planet today, with its ever-expanding cities and shrinking natural environments, It's a relief to know that there are still some places where man can't interfere with Mother Nature. So when you look at the planet, the cities are ever expanding. It just means that they're getting bigger and bigger all the time, and that's true because the trend has been over the past, say, 100 years that people all around the world, everywhere, have been moving from rural areas to urban areas, or in other words, from farming communities, mm-hmm. to cities as things have become more and more industrialized. It's just been the dominant trend of the past century. And also, natural environments are shrinking. They're getting smaller. Rainforests, for example, are getting cut down. And as cities expand, natural environments suffer. But it's a relief to know that there are still some places where man can't interfere with Mother Nature. If you interfere with something, it means you stop someone or something from doing what they want to do. For example, let's say you want to go out with your friends to a movie on Friday night or something. Uh-huh. Well, your parents might interfere and say, no, you can't go out until you finish your homework or something like that. In this case, we're talking about Mother Nature and how we can't interfere with Mother Nature in places like Yellowstone because they're protected national parks, I should say.
Oh, and we're grateful for that. National parks, what are they? Well, here's a definition. They're areas of land that have been officially protected by the government. Now, they're either protected because they have outstanding natural beauty, or they're of particular historical or scientific interest. So we've got a couple of reasons why governments choose to protect certain areas of land officially. If it's outstanding, it stands out. It's excellent. It's extraordinary. If your boss calls you an extraordinary or outstanding worker, that's a really nice compliment to be paid. So it's pretty remarkable when you go to these national parks to see them because some of them have a lot of natural beauty. Now, others are of particular historical or scientific interest. Now, if something is of historical interest, it means it's related to history and you want to protect things that are concerned with our past, you know? We want to study things that happened in our past. It should be important to us what went on before. And if it's of interest to the scientific community out there, maybe there's something they're trying to learn by studying it a little bit more. And an interest, of course, is just something that someone wants to know more about. So that's why the government will step in sometimes to protect these areas of land. So people won't just automatically start developing the area by building on it.
Now, governments around the world are recognizing the importance of preserving natural areas. So there are now national parks in nearly 100 countries across the world. But the very first, and some would say the greatest of these, is America's Yellowstone National Park. So this is the park that started it all. It started the trend of governments stepping in and saying, we need to set aside areas where people cannot live and people cannot develop the mm-hmm. land. Because if we don't do this, well, we're just going to be left with basically a big mess. People are going to settle in these natural areas that need protection from industrial development because what we've seen over the past century as places have gotten more industrialized, as I've said, is that when people inhabit a place, well, they put up factories and things like that that will pollute the rivers, mm-hmm. pollute the soil. And the animals there die out, the plant life and things like that are also in danger. And everything being so related to each other, even plants and animals having such a big effect on us, it can pose a great danger to humans and survival on the planet in general. So that's why these national parks are so vital.
Now, where is this park? Well, it's located in the northwestern U.S. Yellowstone actually covers a really large territory. It's very vast. In fact, it's almost 10,000 square kilometers. Now, if it's a territory, it's an area or region of land. Now, it spans three states. When you say something spans an area, it stretches out or covers that area. The three states it covers include Wyoming, that's where most of the national park is located, Idaho. I bet some of you out there have never heard of that state. And Montana, which is also a very beautiful state.
Now, this land that is in this park, it encompasses some different kinds of areas. And encompass here just means that it includes different things. It includes thick forests, misty mountain ranges, crystal clear lakes, and boiling springs. So these all sound like wonderful things to see. For example, these thick forests, because they can't be cut down by logging companies. Also, misty mountain ranges. If it's misty, it just means there's a lot of moisture or water in the air, probably a lot of cloud cover. So if you look up to the top of the mountain, it might be kind of shrouded or covered in clouds a lot of the time. Also, a great thing about these sorts of parks are the lakes, because they're crystal clear, meaning that no matter how deep they are, you can see pretty much all the way to the bottom. And a lot of them have a very beautiful blue color that almost seems unnatural because we're not used to seeing it. Also, boiling springs, as we talked about before, Old Faithful is like one of those. And they're just like the hot springs that we see here in Taiwan. They're caused by geological forces causing a great amount of heat deep below the surface of the earth. And it even starts to boil the water near the surface of the earth.
That's right. Now, before we continue, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for a few minutes, and then we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Kevin. 我们今天呢，要透过文章，要带领着大家一起到美国相当著名的一座国家公园 Yellowstone, 也就是黄石国家公园。第一段提到了，当我们看看近日城市不断的扩展，自然环境持续缩减的地球，而得知世界上还有人类无法妨碍大自然的地方时，确实会让人松了一口气。在第一个句子里头，我们要提醒同学的是，这里有个关系副词 where 来引导一个形容词子句，用来修饰前面的先行词 places。而关系副词和关系代名词最大的差别就是关系副词它后面所引导的这个子句是一个完整的一个子句，而如果是关系代名词的话呢，那么它后面所引导的这个子句呢是一个不完整的子句。那同学们就问到，那哪一些是关系副词呢？关系副词基本上有四个，表示地方的话呢，我们用的是 where, 表示时间用的是 when, 表示原因用的是 why, 而表示方法我们用的是 how。而关系代名词的话呢，就是有五个，它们分别是 who, whose, whom, 以及 which 跟 that。 接下来就对国家公园下了一个简单的定义，国家公园是正式的受到政府保护的土地，不是因为它不同凡响的自然之美，就是因为它们有特别的历史或是科学用处。这里我们看到了 either A or B, 也就是不是 A 就是 B 这样的一个句构。这样的句构如果是放在句首的话呢，我们要特别注意到它动词要跟主词的一致性。动词到底是要跟前面的 A 还是跟后面的 B 要一致呢？事实上就要看动词比较靠近的到底是属于 A 还是 B。 好比说我们这边造个句子，不是你就是他必须要承担这个责任，这句话我们就可以翻译成 either you or he has to take the responsibility。 因为这边我们发现到是后面的这个 he比较靠近动词，所以我们用的是 has to, 而不是 have to。 另外在这一段当中，我们也看到了有一个片语是 due to, 是表示由于的意思。另外我们还看到有很多的这一次片语是跟它相等的，比如说 thanks to, owing to, on account of, because of, 以及 as a result of。 最后提到现在世界上将近有100个国家都拥有国家公园，但是其中最初也有人说是最好的，就算是美国的黄石国家公园了。接着第二段是在说黄石国家公园，它坐落在美国的西北部，涵盖了几乎10,000平方公里的广大土地，横跨了三个州。公园里包括有 thick forest, 也就是茂密的森林 ,misty mountain ranges, 多雾的山脉 ,crystal clear lakes, 清澈的湖泊，以及 boiling springs, 也就是沸腾的泉水。这段一开头我们看到 located 这个分词构句的结构，我们知道 locate 这个字呢，如果用来表示位在什么地方，是用被动的结构。我们说 be located 后面加介系词再加地方，就可以等于 be situated 后面加介系词再加地方。 situated 的拼法是 s-i-t-u-a-t-e-d。 如果我们用主动的用法的话呢，我们可以用 sit, stand 或者是 lie 后面加上介系词再加上地方。 所以其实非常好记，我们说坐在那边、站在那边、躺在那边，都是用主动的用法。也就是说，这边的 located, 如果我们用主动用法的话呢，我们可以把它改成 sitting, 可以改成 standing, 或者是 lying, 后面再加上 in the northwestern US。
We're going to take a very short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back with more Yellowstone, America's National Treasure.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to English Digest. Today, Stephanie and I are discussing Yellowstone National Park, and it's the oldest national park in the world, and some would even argue it's the greatest one because of all the wonderful things that you can see there. And it's great that we have these national parks now in nearly 100 countries around the world. It really shows that governments are starting to get committed to environmental issues and preserving these vital natural areas. So let's talk about some of the things that you can see in this park. You can see these thick forests, misty mountain ranges, crystal clear lakes, which I love, and also boiling springs. Now, this didn't come to the attention of settlers right away in America, but there was a group of people that had been aware of it for a very, very long time before settlers from Europe and other places even arrived in America.
Oh, that's right. Now, some of America's indigenous tribes, we're talking about the American Indians here, they were local to the area. They'd been there for a long, long time, for around 11,000 years. So they knew this area. They had already hunted and fished in the region. This was their home. So, of course, to hunt, they're providing food for their families, and to fish, there's lots of wonderful fish there. It's a beautiful area. Like Joe said, he loved the crystal clear lakes. There are some rivers and streams there that are so clean, you can drink right out of them. It's the most beautiful, clean, pure area. Nothing is polluted. It's just beautiful. Well, when you use this word region, let's talk about this word too. It's another way to say an area of land. For example, we could talk about different regions of the U.S., the Northeast region, the Southwest region. You could use region to talk about Taiwan's areas, too. There's the Eastern region, the Southern region. So it's just a geographical area of a country.
So America's indigenous tribes had already hunted and fished in this area, this region, for about 11,000 years.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until relatively recently, 1807 in fact, that the first white man bore witness to Yellowstone's natural wonders. So the first white man just means the first American settler who either he himself or his family had come over from some area in Europe. And he bore witness to Yellowstone's natural wonders. This is just a really fancy way of saying that he saw something. If you bear witness to something, it means that you witness or you see something. And it's kind of a poetic way of saying it. So you bear witness to Yellowstone's natural wonders. So he saw all these wonderful things that you can see within Yellowstone National Park. His name was John Coulter, and he was a lone explorer. So this means that he was actually by himself. Lone is related to the word alone, meaning by oneself or on your own. And he returned from his travels, and I guess because nobody was with him, nobody could back up his story. So he had these tales of strange place of boiling mud and steaming rivers, but few at the time believed his accounts. I bet at that time he was wishing he had himself a little travel buddy so he could back him up and say, yeah, he's telling the truth. But he was talking about a place of boiling mud, so I guess that would be kind of hard to believe for people at the time.
Yeah.
They probably didn't know a lot about hot springs or natural springs, things like that, and steaming rivers. Well, that would probably just seem strange to somebody who had come over from England or parts of Europe where they don't have those things. So few at the time believed his accounts. Account in this case refers to a story or something that you're saying, something that you're putting on record. So when he was exploring, he likely would have written all these things down. A lot of explorers at the time would also do sketches of what they saw because it's not like they could pull out their digital camera and take a snapshot of it. They just had to sit there and draw it, and that would all be part of their account or part of what they said was happening to them at the time.
Yeah, do you know, it's interesting because I was thinking as you were talking about how strange the boiling mud stories would be in the steaming rivers. Back east, we don't have hot springs on the eastern part of the United States, and that's where most of the settlers were. This guy was pretty brave. He would venture out on his own, out to the western part of the states, and typically, those guys would be killed by Indians or the Native Americans, but he managed to get out of there alive, but unfortunately, no one believed his fantastic stories. Well, 6 decades passed. A decade, of course, is 10 years, so 60 years passed before a proper expedition finally set foot or arrived in the area in 1869. An expedition is usually a group of people that take a long journey. It's organized. They decide what they want to do, and then they get the right equipment for this journey. It's usually somewhere that's a little dangerous, maybe, or kind of risky to go to. Usually explorers take expeditions.
And on expeditions, they often have a number of different people with different skills mm-hmm. who come along. They would likely have a cook, somebody to cook the meals. They would probably have a doctor to take care of everyone. And they would also had a naturalist. The naturalist would be somebody who knows something about the plants and the wildlife of the region. They'll write things down. They'll sketch everything that they see, every plant and every animal that they're not familiar with. They'll sketch it, probably give it a name, too. The naturalist on this expedition was named F.V. Hayden, and he was perhaps the strongest advocate of preserving the region's precious environmental value. If you're an advocate of something, it means you support a certain cause or something like that. It could be an advocate of peace, meaning that you support peace in a region. And he was an advocate, or he supported, preserving the region's precious environmental value. To preserve something means to keep it in its present condition. So he did not want to see this area developed by mankind.
I wanted to mention here that advocate is a noun. If you use it in the verb form, it's pronounced differently. It's advocate, which means you're going to propose or support an idea you believe in. For example, some politicians advocate lower taxes. They don't want taxes being raised. Well, it was largely thanks to Hayden's detailed geological survey that he did in 1871 that the American government made the decision to then create this first national park called Yellowstone in 1872. If something's really detailed, it's got a lot of information or contains a lot of details. Geological, of course, means related to the earth. And a survey here isn't where you use a set of questions to measure people's opinions. No, this is a different kind of survey. It actually means you're mapping out an area or the map itself. So he showed what the area looked like to the American government, and that's when they said, ooh, this area looks like a very special place. Let's try to preserve it.
So since 1872, Yellowstone's popularity has continued to grow, and it is considered a benchmark for all other such projects. Something's considered a benchmark. It's the standard, or it's what every other similar project aspires to or what they want to be. So a benchmark can just be something that was done really, really well. And this Yellowstone National Park, it's a benchmark because it's beautiful and because they've managed it very, very well. They've managed to keep out all development. So whenever a new national park is founded, they look to the example of Yellowstone and they say, that's exactly what we want to be like.
Now, this significance or importance, that's what significance means, was recognized in 1978. That's when Yellowstone was designated a UN World Heritage Site, which means it's one of the most protected places in the world. We consider this to be somewhere that we never want to destroy. We want to preserve it and protect it. To designate here means you choose something or pick something for a particular purpose, or you could designate a person for a particular job. Here we're saying we're going to name or choose this place to be one of the UN's World Heritage Sites. Okay, everybody, this is day one of our article. We've got another day to talk about Yellowstone, but right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
记者提到说呢，虽然美国某些原住民部落已经在这个地方狩猎捕鱼将近有11000年了，然而一直到了1807年才出现了第一个能为黄石公园的自然奇景做见证的白人。这里的 not until 表示直到什么什么时候才如何如何，再搭配上 it is that 这样子强调句的结构，其实这样的强调句的句构呢，我们只要把 until 所引导的这个子句或是片语放在 it is not 的后头，其余的部分再按照主词动词的顺序排列在 that 的后面就可以了。好比我们造个例句，直到昨天我才得知这个事实， It was not until yesterday that I learned the truth。 后面提到这位见证的白人其实就是 John Coulter，他是一个孤独的探险家，游历结束之后呢，他带回了有关于滚烫泥土的土地或者是散发着蒸汽的河流的故事。 But few at the time believed his account， 但是当时很少人相信他的一些说法。接下来的这一段大意是说，不断有探险考察队自然学家在黄石公园做研究和记录，而相关的记录和研究的问世也让黄石国家公园越来越受欢迎。这段还提到说，黄石国家公园是在1872年由美国政府做了这个历史性的决定，而在1978年也被指定为联合国世界遗产。在这一段的倒数第二个句子当中，我们看到了 And it is considered a benchmark for all other such projects。 这里我们看到 consider 的用法，我们说认为 A 是 B， 如果用的是 consider 这个字的话呢，主动的用法是 consider A to be B， 而 to be 可以直接把省略掉，直接形成 consider A B 这样的用法。变成被动的结构的话呢，就变成了 A is consideredto be B， 也是一样的， to be 可以把它省略掉，就变成了 A is considered B。 而这样的用法我们如果代换成为 regard 这个字的用法的话呢，那么就变成了 regard A as B， 变成被动的话呢，也是一样，就变成了 A is regarded as B。
That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Joe. Goodbye.
Bye.